Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. This message today is the third and final in a series as we look at the letters to Timothy. He stands in the threshold of a small building that his congregation uses as their church. He's exhausted. He's exhausted just reflecting back on the past couple of years. Paul, he really threw him into the deep end when he put him in charge of this flock in Ephesus. And even though it was only a few short years ago, he can't help but reflect on how young he was, how young he felt as he accepted his first call to lead them. But now after dealing with the Gnostics, after pushing back against the false teachers, feels like he's aged many more years than he would have thought possible. Sure, problems haven't all been resolved. They're still there. But he seems to be much older now, much wiser, more capable of handling whatever comes his way. At least that's what he thought until he read this letter from Paul. He just finished it, and he had to take a step out, take a moment to let it all sink in. There's a lot for him to unpack in this letter, but one thing seems crystal clear. Paul is nearing the end of his life. He knows it. The Roman soldiers that have imprisoned him know it. His friends know it. And now, even Timothy knows it. And the end of the letter makes this very clear when he says that he's already being poured out as a drink offering, and that the time of his departure is at hand. He's already fought the good fight. He's finished the race, and he's kept the faith. If only Timothy could go visit him one last time. And he knows he probably can't, and that's what makes this all the more painful. This may be the last time he hears from his father figure. Now he glances back at the letter, looking for something, anything that might help process his emotions. But all he finds are the emotions of Paul dripping from these pages. The previous letter from Paul, it spoke of church organizations, instructions, and they were useful for him as he led this church. But this letter, it's much different. There's still instruction, but it's wrapped with the embrace of Paul's love for him, and especially for Jesus. His words are words of mourning, but not for what he is about to face. He mourns because he soon will no longer have the chance to reach the world with this message of the gospel that he clings to with all his faith. He mourns because for him it seems that the race is nearing its end. And where does that leave the world? Where does that leave Timothy? He glances back at the letter as tears welling up in his eyes, and he begins to read it again. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Protect the gospel. This still continues to be a problem in his church. How often has he confronted false teaching? How often has he had to oppose those who claim something other than Jesus, or those who claim something plus Jesus? Protect the gospel, Paul reminds him. Oh, Paul, if you only knew. I protect it every single day. Timothy smiles as the thought enters into his head. He sees Paul bound in prison, surrounded by guards who are anxious to kill him. Of course, that's not what makes him smile. But what makes him smile is he knows that in that environment, in that pain and suffering, in that recognition, that Paul knows he will be put to death. He's probably still preaching the gospel. And he's probably still preaching it to those soldiers who are going to kill him. See, Paul didn't just defend the gospel. He suffered the gospel. He suffered the gospel in a very real way. To Paul, that gospel message was everything. There was nothing more valuable, nothing more worth protecting than that. Jesus Christ, who abolished death, brought life and immortality to light. This is what Paul would die for. This is what Paul always clung to. This is what Paul attached his faith to. Jesus Christ. There was nothing greater, nothing more important than this. No news more urgent to deliver to the world. This is how Paul saw it. What about him? What about Timothy? Smile on his face quickly vanished as this question began to weigh heavily on him. What was most important to him? Was it the same? Now, his life is dedicated to the service of the Word. But how many times does he get distracted with life itself? How often has his gaze been distracted from the cross, if only for the briefest of moments? That never seemed to happen with Paul. But it seems to happen to Timothy. It seems to happen to him all too often. What does that mean about his faith? Just as this begins to weigh so heavy on him, another thought enters into his mind. But it's a thought that releases that burden. Paul's not giving him more instruction. Paul's not measuring Timothy against himself. It's quite the opposite. Paul's reminding him that the prize has already been won. We have to keep our eyes on the prize, being rewarded in heaven by Jesus Christ. That's what it says at the end of Paul's letter. The prize has been won, and it's been handed to Timothy. Take hold of it, and do not be ashamed. For who can be ashamed of possessing something of unmeasurable value? How could that even enter into somebody's imagination? The salvation won on the cross by Jesus is of such value that it's worth everything. He is not ashamed of the gospel. He has protected it before, and he'll continue to protect it in the future. His sorrow turns to joy because he knows now what he must do. He may never see his dear friend Paul in this life, but he knows that he will join him in heaven. But now, right now, his focus must remain on the race. His focus must remain on the prize. His focus must remain on the message of everlasting life. So he carefully rolls up the letter and he walks into his small office. There's a desk in the corner with a candle, the only light in the room. And as he sits down, he pulls a quill from the ink. His mind relocates him from that little office into the sanctuary, where he sees himself standing before his congregation. He has a message for them, and it's a message that they must hear. "My people, my flock," he starts out. What is so valuable, so precious, that we must guard it with our very own lives. But also, not only guard it, but give it away freely. What can be so priceless that we claim it as our very own, while at the same time offer it to the world? Can anything man-made make this claim for itself? Of course not. For nothing formed by human hands or thought by human mind can come close. And yet, we protect these things with such passion. We expend such energy to accumulate these things. And when we acquire them, we place our trust in them. We place our faith in them, our security in them. No longer, let it go. Release them, for they are but obstacles that hinder us from receiving the real prize, the one worth more than all of these things combined. Be not ashamed for the gift that Jesus offers you. For it is He that should be ashamed of us, and yet He calls us brothers and sisters. So if He's not ashamed, how much less should we be ashamed of Him? Let it go. Cling to the salvation that He offers. Cling to the message of life, His life, His death, and His resurrection. Cling to it. For it is the only thing worth holding on to. Cling to it. Protect it. And give it away. This is the message of Jesus. This is what Paul taught me, and this is what I'm teaching you. My congregation of Ephesus, remember always the value of the gospel, for the value of nothing else will ever matter. And with that, he sets his pen down, he blows out his candle, and begins his walk home. Please pray with me. Lord, Paul encouraged Timothy to protect and spread the gospel. May you give us the same encouragement. And may you help us protect this message with everything we have. May it not become perverted in our homes and in our lives, and we spend our lives pursuing others that they might come to know and to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.